Hello, welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman. I'm product manager here at Microsoft working on Windows Phone development platform. Today, we're going to talk to senior user experience designer Arturo Toledo. Arturo, hey, did I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah, that was fine.
Okay,
was
Arturo, fine. This is Arturo's repeat visit to Windows Phone, Inside Windows Phone. You were here a few months ago and we talked about some of the common problems that people hit when designing applications
Correct.
For Windows Phone.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been on the team now?
Being with the team for 6 months.
6 months?
Yes.
And you spent how much of that traveling?
3 months.
Okay. So you and your peer, Corinna Black, you guys were traveling around talking about user experience on Windows Phone.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your tour? What was the whole goal of that, and how did it go?
So we started back in early October, and now it sounds like so far away, but it really was a long time. And it was basically a 10-city tour in South Africa and then Western Europe. And we called it the Windows Phone Design Day. And
okay.
The goal for this tour is that, as you know, Larry, we have a lot of content, a lot of events aimed at development, at engineering Windows Phone experience. And now we wanted to focus exclusively on design and UX. And so we said, let's devote an entire day just talking about hardcore Metro design principles and then how to take those principles into practice with the Metro design language that Microsoft provides out of
and
the box.
We recorded a lot of that, and we'll actually provide links on this page to the best versions of those sessions. But it was a number of different sessions, right?
Yeah, we have five sessions.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full day of activities, like five sessions, and then at the end we would end up always with some sort of hands-on activities or providing people with one-on-one UX and design consulting for their own applications.
How many people do you think you talked to over the course of the entire...
It was probably, if I were to measure that in unique visitors or attendees to sessions, it was probably 3,500.
Wow.
It was a bunch. There were some big events, like the Helsinki event was huge.
Right.
Just in the room, we had about 500 people for a full day just attending UX and design. So there's huge interest from
I know
developers.
Finland is very into design. They're very design focused.
Finland, Helsinki is like Metro town, you know, besides the fact that Nokia was there, we had a chance to meet with the Nokia design team, super talented people there. The whole city and all the Nordic countries like Finland and Sweden and Norway, Denmark, they have like this cultural attraction towards Metro, which is, you know, being more functional.
The Metro design system that you
very clean. And you see that in architecture, in urban signage, transportation graphics all over the place.
Well, the Nokia folks actually had a video that they produced around the design of the Lumia 800 that we'll link to on this page that talked a lot about their design principles. I know that that's interesting. People may find that interesting to see. But Finland, you know, Alvar Aalto, they've got a lot of the architects that they... did you buy an Aalto vase? I know that they have those.
They gave us... every time we go, that's why I like to
they
go
give
to
you the
Finland.
Aalto vase.
They always give us a little piece of, like, an Aalto piece, and now we got something really nice made out of wood.
Okay.
So, yeah, we also, with the Nokia design team, we had this very fun night. They were having, like, this summit, and they brought in all their designers from all over.
Wow.
And amazing group of people. And the cool thing about Nokia, the Nokia design team, is they have industrial designers, they have packaging designers, they have user interface designers. And so it's a very rich group of people. And
they try to make it all align, right? So that the design on the, you know, the box looks a lot like the design on the phone.
Yeah, they're paying a lot of attention to that, building really the end-to-end experience. And
even in the advertising, they show tiles on a lot of the advertising, and they use that in the feature, like the big event they had in London with dead mouse.
I don't know if you
saw the video from
These huge, like, projection over this big building. And
I know, I'm still thinking about that. It was so impressive. I didn't get to go, but I did. I saw the video online. Which we'll link to, of course.
Well, that's one of the big things I think we are we've been getting out of this partnership with Nokia, right? Like, Nokia knows how to talk to consumers. They know how to take a message out there and make a big splash out of it. And I think we've seen that in all these different occasions. So it's very exciting to see what they are doing right now.
Definitely. Yeah. So as you think about the world tour, you know, what was the most interesting stuff that you saw? You saw a lot of different people working on apps, I imagine.
Yeah.
Did you see any apps that stood out in your mind? Or
yeah, so towards the end of the day, we would always, again, like meet with specific people. We would say, hey, who wants some free UX consulting? And people would bring in their apps. We probably took a look to some 200 apps throughout the entire tour. Mm-hmm. And the thing that impressed me the most is that it's the wide range of developers that are being part of creating Windows Phone apps. Mm-hmm. You have the independent weekend garage developer, right, who has a passion and knowledge for the platform, and they want to create their app, right? And then you have the more like sophisticated ISVs or system integrators who have clients and they're creating applications for them. Then you have agencies. We met with a bunch of agencies that are helping our top partners, some of those top applications in every country,
right,
to create their apps. And these are people who have a lot of experience creating and crafting iPhone applications and Android applications. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of questions about migrating, how to migrate an iPhone app or an Android app into a Windows Phone app. Not from a coding point of view, but from a UX
design point of view. You know, it's interesting because it seems to me that that's the hardest part. You can look at how you map an API from one, and we have an API mapping guide, which we'll link to, but API mapping is but one small part of the puzzle. When you start thinking about the design sensibility of each system, there are different types of constructs you have to take into account.
Exactly. The most typical basic one is the back button, right? Mm-hmm. In iPhone, we are used to have on the top left, usually, an on-screen back button that in iPhone apps,
some
that's
apps
what you
do
use.
That.
That's a design pattern to go back, right? Mm. In the Windows Phone world, a lot of people, when they start migrating their apps, they immediately gravitate towards putting that on-screen back button in Windows Phone.
Even though
guess
they've
what?
Got a hardware.
Exactly. We don't need it, right? We have a hardware button, which, by the way, every time that I realize, like, that's one of the biggest, coolest things in Windows Phone, the back button is so useful. But yeah, that's just one little example of many other things. Yesterday in these blog post series that we're producing, and we'll probably talk more about that later.
We'll get to that.
But I basically realized that when you migrate an app from a UI and UX point of view from iPhone or Android into Windows Phone, you should think in terms of migrating information architecture, not migrating user interface. So if you focus on the information architecture of those apps and you translate those to some of our metaphors like panoramas, pivots, pages, and then for navigation you have application bar, menu bar, items, you will be in a much better position. And we'll talk more about that.
That's great. That's actually, you know, I hadn't heard it phrased that way before, and that makes a lot of sense to me in terms of how you can start thinking about bringing an application over if you're doing that. So Do you want to touch on the structure of the tour, the talks? I mean, because you had five different sessions or so that you delivered.
Yeah, five of them. And we basically tried to have a day that was very practical. We tried to focus a lot on the how-to versus the why.
Right.
Because the why, you know, a lot of people, we saw the passion from developers and designers around Metro. So people know why in general.
Sure. Exactly.
But, so we tried to focus on a more practical approach. We started with a session called Metro, which was a hardcore, like, deep dive into Metro design principles that quickly moved on to Metro design language, which is
the
actual
bits and pieces.
Exactly. The building blocks that are inspired on the principles that people merge and blend to put together user interfaces. And we talked about a bunch of stuff there, things like the hub and spoke model, the Windows Phone design grid, which kept being the biggest kind of revelation, even for ourselves, how important the Windows Phone design grid is for composing your UIs.
Now, and so we've got some, you know, I don't know if you saw Jeff Wilcox released a utility that you can install that will actually impose the grid on your application at debug time.
Yeah.
So as you can actually see in the emulator, we'll link to that here as well. That's a pretty amazing tool. to help with that kind of work.
Exactly. And that came out of our super quick conversation with that Jeff had
guys.
With Karina
right.
and myself there in the studio, and we just learned from these other designers in the studio who have been working Windows Phone for a couple of years that
and the 12 Windows pixels is the magic grid, is the magic number.
12 pixels is a magic number, and the grid is like you just start with 24 to the left, mm-hmm. then you have 25 pixels, then 12, 25, 12, 25, 12, 25, and you end up with 25. And then on the top, you have the status bar.
You have this
the
all memorized.
Bar. Yeah, by now I know it by memory.
At this point, it would help to for us to show you these pictures, but
yes.
obviously we're going to be linking to a lot of this
exactly.
content. This is just an informal conversation
today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you talk about the different pieces, then I derailed you. You were talking.
Oh, yeah, on the Metro session. Then the second session, we called it Think.
Mm-hmm.
And this relates to something that you and I discussed last time, right? Instead, when you create a Windows Phone app, or anything for that matter, we should not just jump directly into Photoshop and start creating mm-hmm. a user interface. And we should not just jump into Visual Studio and start coding. But we should assign some time to define the ideas and the concept for our application, to explore those things.
Right.
And then we can then start building. So it's the process of taking things from think to make,
That's
like
right.
people in the studio.
So when you're building that complex soundboard app, you mm-hmm. should think about what you want the experience to be first.
Exactly. And there are, we basically shared a range of different ideas for brainstorming,
mm-hmm.
Basically games that people can play, that would be the verb, play with their teams or with other friends to come up with cool ideas for apps. The other kind of interesting thing that we found is that in this stage is that a lot of people start crafting a Windows Phone app idea by thinking in terms of APIs. Available
yes.
APIs or available web services or RSS feeds.
And that's not what you think they should be doing?
Correct. We should think in terms of user experiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying, oh, there's a CNN RSS feed, I'll create a CNN RSS newsreader.
Right.
Let think or ask yourself, how can I contribute to enhancing the news consumption experience or providing more relevant pieces of news to my users?
Right.
So by doing that, you open your world to many more possibilities, and you won't end up with yet another, you know, Twitter client or Yelp client.
Sure.
So
sure.
That, the Think session was focused around that and helping developers and designers come up with some of these ideas. Then the third session was called Design, and that was basically a deep dive into putting all the things that we learned in the first session in practice, and we used an application that the studio had crafted for about a year. It's a golf application. Ryan Bickle, one of the senior visual designers there in the team, amazing guy, and he put together this great app, and we showed how that app was built, was designed, basically.
Is this the same as the one Adam Kinney put together that's on the design, the .NET design site that we have?
I have a feeling it's different.
Okay.
I have a feeling it's different.
We should find out if
yes.
there's something we can share here that
yeah.
would be useful.
Something that we can definitely share is a video from actually Ryan describing the application.
Okay.
A year or a year and a half ago, Jaime Rodriguez, which I'm sure many
the
of our friends
day.
Know,
yeah,
the Windows Phone Design Day, it has some great sessions from some of the senior designers in the team. So we can point to those.
Well, sure. That's where
yeah.
he... I know they talked about the golf application at that point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you got to the place where the golf application was actually implemented in code, or...?
It was never built. And the end of the session
okay.
finished with a full...
I should have you look at the one uh-huh. that is on the .NET design...
Is it Toolbox?
Yes. There's one
oh,
on
okay.
Toolbox.
I'm pretty sure it's a different one.
It's
then.
A different... It
yeah.
looks very similar.
Oh,
so you should
maybe
you should take a look at
I'll take a look. Let's
because
confirm.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think it's I think Adam Kinney actually went ahead and did some work with the assets.
Oh, that'd be great to know because
so we'll,
our session right now ended with an After Effects
okay.
Motion graphics video that shows the entire app. And this video was put together also by Ryan and Jeff
the
Arnold.
The golf app that you
yeah, the golf
this was,
app.
This was a prototype
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so we started getting more practical. Then we had two more sessions that Karina delivered, Refine mm-hmm. and Build. And Refine was basically a session where Karina provided
so people iterate on the design before uh-huh. they even start coding.
Yes, exactly. This is all about still design. There's no coding yet or
right.
or building process. So in Refine, basically, Karina provided a number of best practices, things that you should look out for whether you should avoid or you should look for doing when designing an app. Things like taking a good look at the backstack and tombstoning and all these types of things, which are super important for an experience to also feel fluid. And
it's a little bit beyond design. It's sort of thinking about how you implement the design a little bit, isn't it?
Yes. It has to do a little bit with that. And I guess it would also be, we would have to determine the definition of design, right? When we talk about design, we talk about the experience design, not necessarily visual design exclusively. Mm-hmm. And so the flow of an application is part of the design process as well. And in the Windows Phone world, in the application world, this concept of hub and spoke model is so important, right? Mm-hmm. Going forward and then going back with the back button, it requires a lot of attention on where you take people back to, or when you don't, right? When maybe you take them directly back to the hub or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And then in the fifth session, Karina talked about build. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time where we actually got into like some more code, and actually she did a really great job of being able to put an entire prototype together using only Expression Blend.
Wow.
And she designed a weather application.
Like using Sketchflow or in Blend proper?
Just hardcore Blend, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think it was just hardcore Blend. And she designed this weather application that was using typography to convey the different temperatures and weather conditions. And she basically put all that together. So people got a chance to see all the way from Metro Foundation, design principles and language, techniques for ideation and concept, and then build all the way on top, all the way to the moment where we could have an actual prototype.
That's fantastic. I'm mm-hmm. excited to see that. I haven't seen the whole thing, obviously, from end to end.
So I'll get you the links.
This would be great for folks to look mm-hmm. at. Now, you talk to people afterwards, you know, what do you think the most common problems are that people hit when they, mm-hmm. what did you experience there?
One of the most common problems that I think we see is that we don't have a lot of design patterns out there right now mm-hmm. for people to use. And I'm talking probably mostly about developers, because designers, because of their training, they have the ability to bring a lot of that themselves, right? And that's why all these big agencies that are helping our top partners are doing a great job. They have they're trained as designers. So for developers, I think we need more design patterns. And one of the challenges that I see is that we're reusing a lot of the same design patterns that come out of the box, perhaps with Expression Blend, or perhaps some of the ones that we provide via Photoshop in the Windows Phone SDK. And I think people need more variety. And that's one of the kind of big rocks that we have on our list to do, mm-hmm. Something we have to solve to help developers get there. The other one is certainly things like alignment. I'm talking of very tactical things right now, right? Aligning things and controls. I think that's why a lot of people found the existence of a Windows Phone design grid mm-hmm. with the pixel values that I mentioned before so interesting, because when they saw that and we show them how the Windows Phone experience, the tile, the start screen, all the email applications, the people hub, are actually laid and designed on top of that grid and it matches perfectly, I think a lot of people were like, oh my God, if I had known about this grid, I would have known that I would have had 24 pixels margin to the from the left to the right.
But it's not just about margins, it's about how controls mm-hmm. sit on a specific page too. And
composition in general and layout, yeah.
Right, which is really important towards creating an application that looks professional.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. The other one is typography. We've talked a lot about typography, right?
Yep.
We have our principle, celebrate typography. And I think we need to do, and this, again, something another thing we have to do, we have to provide people with more resources so that they master, because I think it can be learned, can definitely be learned, how to really use typography in a way that works well in Metro.
I think people get a little intimidated with figuring out how to use different sizes.
That's a word, yeah.
Without looking crazy, right? Because
Exactly. Initially
I know that some of our designs had text that actually went off the screen. In fact, still in some mm-hmm. panoramas we mm-hmm. do. And in some ways, that's a visual indication that there's more
exactly.
that you can move
Continuity.
Over.
Yeah.
But another way is when people look at blank screenshots, and this was a big problem initially, people would look at screenshots of our UI and they would say, wow, that's just crazy and ugly because the text is cut off. And because when you look at a static image, you don't realize there's this interaction aspect to it.
Exactly.
And it was an attempt to demonstrate how you could explode beyond the confines of a single screen.
Yeah.
Which is some of what we're trying to do with Panorama, show people how to build an application that expands beyond the size of one screen. And people aren't really using Panorama that way today in as creative a way as they could.
That's actually a very good point. Jeff Fong, who's one of the senior leads in the team, he's done a lot of thinking in terms of the principles. And in the light, open, fast, and fluid principle, which I relate also to fierce reduction, the concept of open is a fundamental, it gives a fundamental and like super particular feeling to Windows Phone. This concept that you were describing, that the screen or the canvas goes beyond the boundings of the screen itself. And that's something that's very particular in Windows Phone. In the iPhone world, in the Android world, usually experiences tend to feel more like you are in a single little screen. Like you're in the
screen. Well, they don't have this design pattern around an expanding canvas that you can move left and right on to see more.
Exactly.
And that's something very unique about what we offer.
Exactly. So that's, I mean, that's...
We got a lot of criticism initially also about having a low information density because many of our designs have a lot of space. So, for example, I'd see the comment that, wow, that's ugly. There's all this empty space on the right-hand side. And, you know, we were trying to err on the side of, I think, please correct me if I'm wrong, of creating a very clean, clear visual appearance, but also giving you, you know, this expanded canvas to sort of make up for that fact.
Exactly.
You know, so there were a number of different trade-offs there.
Yeah. But you mentioned that I think perfectly. I mean, the star of the show, as we've always said, when it comes to Metro, is information. Mm-hmm. That's the star of the show. It's not the user interface or the buttons. It's the information. And so in some screens where it makes sense to present only that type of only that amount of information, we don't need to force ourselves to fill up the empty spaces. In fact, white space, as we call it, or empty space, sometimes even helps emphasize the action towards information that has been laid out.
Right, like making a touchable text, you know, because sometimes, you know, one of the big mistakes we see, it's quite an indicator usually that someone didn't test on an actual device, is if they have a text target, which is very small and hard to touch with the finger.
Yeah. And now that you mentioned that, I actually remember getting more than a few questions about, hey, how can I convey the fact that this text is touchable? Because people coming, you know, people in general, they expect to see like a button or something touchable that to know that you can trigger
an action.
And
because we focus on content rather than Chrome, we like to have text be touchable as opposed to painting a button.
Exactly. The content is the UI in this case, right?
But then how do you indicate to the end user that they can touch the text?
Exactly. Yeah, and there are a couple of ways of doing that. One of them is having a good different weights and sizes, the correct type of styles for your text, and that will convey the fact that these are items, for example, in a list box. And we need to create more of that guidance for people, definitely. The second thing is there's some motion, so there's a tilt effect that you can apply to list box items or list view items.
Which they get once the user does touch. But
once the user does touch. And the other, we're hoping that you know that what we're selling with phone, users of Windows Phone, are getting used to the fact that the content is touchable.
Right.
So that's kind of the other way. It's just like... People will expect
learn
that that's
phone,
the way it
then
is.
They'll understand how it works. But
Okay,
so you're blogging about design now. You're going to be blogging. I noticed you started on your blog the 31 weeks.
I started with 31 days.
You started with 31 days.
Yes. And then I realized what I had done.
I know, because this was in the spirit of Jeff Blankenberg did the 31 days of Mango, where every single day... For 31 days, he had some substantial tips, and there's a really good blog series we'll link to right here. But you are inspired by that. You're doing weeks now because you want to do more heavy-duty topics that are take a little bit more. And it's really just you who's doing this. Jeff had a lot of help.
Yeah. Well, the first when I wrote the first blog post, I was like, dude, I'm not going to be able to post every day at all.
Right. This is just a hobby on the side, right? It's not your...
Yeah, exactly. I should try to do that as a pet project because it's also helping myself. I've been with the team for 6 months.
To think and think this through more clearly, right?
Exactly. After seeing all these, talking to all these developers and designers, Corinne and I learned a lot. And now this would help me kind of gather ideas and structure them out. I was really thankful and grateful with everyone, probably even watching this video, for the support of that first blog post. It got retweeted and posted, and WP Central covered it, and some of these other amazing Windows Phone developer portals out there, they also covered it. So thank you very much for the support. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, this can actually go beyond just being my pet project. So right now, we're starting to work with a design studio to make it something more formal. And there's just so much knowledge in some of our design leads and some of the other designers who have been crafting the Windows Phone experience that we want to have their words there as well. Mm-hmm. And so we're working and see what happens there. No formal announcements yet, but I think we definitely want to make this, you know, something that brings in other people as well. Yesterday, I blogged the second post called The Design Process of a Windows Phone App. Mm-hmm. And hopefully from a practical point of view, it's also a long post, but we're going to be breaking it down in the next few weeks, taking a look at ideation and concept, for example, the next weekend, and so on and on. And yeah, hopefully this becomes useful to everyone out there.
I'm sure it will. Look, we have two missions here. They are to make it as easy as possible, remove all the friction around building and publishing a Windows Phone app for you. But then the other thing we want to do is make it as easy as possible to build an outstanding, beautiful Windows Phone application. I think that the stuff that Arturo and Corinna and the design team are doing is really targeted at that, at making it as easy as possible to understand our design system and then implement it with your own apps. Because that's part of what we really want to accomplish with our development platform, is a system not just for building apps easily, but building beautiful apps.
Great apps, yeah, exactly.
Easily.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you saw in the New York Times yesterday, there was a piece about Windows Phone. We were pretty excited about it, so we'll just briefly mention that. Albert Shum, your boss's 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 boss, he's just your boss's boss.
Step
one,
level?
Is one or two?
So Corinna works for Albert, and I work for Corinna.
So Albert, yes, picture was in the front of the business section in the Sunday Times. So.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We saw that with Joe.
Yeah, who cares about Joe?
Yeah. it was cool to see, just once more, like, people praising the design, the design of phone, right?
Right.
Of the phone. And that's the thing that keeps coming out. You know, the UX of Windows Phone is just a great
experience. And then users are loving the phone, too. Like, if you look at Amazon.com, you'll see that the phones people love the most are the Windows Phone. So.
We had this experience in Germany when we were there for the event. Corinne and I were walking on the streets, and we saw this O2 store, which is, of it like an AT&T or Verizon.
Well, we have a global audience here, so.
Yeah, so people will know about O2. So we got into the store, and they had a poster of the Lumia 800. It was the week that it was released. Mm-hmm. And we went in, and we asked the salesperson, hey, do you have Lumias? And he was like, oh, that's the best phone. I have it right here. And he took out his phone, and he started pitching the phone in a...
Do you have a Lumia right now?
I bought it that day. Well, after he pitched the phone,
do you
great
have one
and all
that you could show?
I don't have it here with me, but yeah. But he was like, we were like, yeah, we'll take one. And Corinna also got hers through Amazon, Germany, and got sent all
you
the way here.
You had to buy them, huh?
Yeah, we had to, because they're so popular. They're running out.
They're very popular. Yeah, they're very, very popular.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I just love the Lumia. Like, the screen is like bubbled out a little bit. And so it makes you feel like you're touching pixels that are kind of floating.
It has a hardware quality. I love all of our phones, but I believe that the Nokia has built phones in this case that have a hardware quality that is just outstanding. It's just amazing to see.
the corners of the phone, for example, the screen kind of curves a little bit and merges with the curve of the chassis.
Sure.
And so the concept of that, like you were saying, that video from Nokia,
where they talk about the design.
Yeah, they get the fact that we have this extensive canvas, and so when you pan, it makes it feel just smoother to the touch.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now they have a new phone that's going to be announced today later on. We won't talk about that now, but by the end of today, Monday, January 9th, it should be announced. We're excited to find out about that. We know you'll be excited about that too. The other thing I wanted to mention was Zapfest, because we have another production that we've been producing, a video presentation called Zapfest. My colleague Ben Lauer has been producing that. We've talked about that a little bit here. Zapfest began initially as an internal Microsoft development event. We had so many folks internally at the company interested in building apps for Windows Phone that we started hosting these events on campus at night. Finally, you know, once the phone went public, this was over a year ago, we decided this is great resource. We should be publishing these sessions online. And so we are now. We don't have a single site up yet for all of them, but they are posting the videos online. Now, Corinna, your colleague, talked just last month.
Yes.
And it was a session from the day.
As part of the tour, she, I believe, delivered a refined session, best practices for
designing. So we just want to mention that here. We're going to list these sessions out in order and then find the best recordings.
Yep.
And that would be great if you could get that to me today.
Absolutely. Will do.
I'm so excited to have you back and hoping to work with you more this year on getting great resources out for folks. I think that's all we have time for today, though. So,
thank you very much, Larry.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you next week on Inside Windows Phone.